Lord, we just come before you this morning. God, again, we just thank you for all that you've done to make yourself present today. God, that you are so faithful to your word. And so, Lord, as we open up your word to hear from you this morning, we just pray that we would have our hearts and minds focused on you, God, learning more about who you are, Lord, so ultimately we can become more like you. We love you and praise you. Amen. So Genesis 45, if you guys remember where we left last week, it was kind of a climactic moment, and we dipped a little bit into chapter 45. But what we saw is that Joseph, he's been having this struggle, this internal struggle, as he's dealing with these brothers of his that tormented him. They threw him into a pit, sold him into slavery, and that God was using Joseph in the lives of these brothers. And where we got to is that Judah, the very brother who came up with a plan to sell Joseph into slavery, when faced with the situation that Benjamin was not going to be allowed to go back, and knowing that not seeing Benjamin go back would ultimately kill their father Jacob, Judah, this guy who was once so selfish, self-seeking, so much that he wouldn't care about his brother being sold into slavery when his brother's, you know, crying out. He was the brother who was there with coat in hand. Dad, do you remember whose this is? That same guy, after all this time through these trials that God has been working in, Judah comes to that place of complete self-sacrifice and offers himself in his brother's place. And what we saw is in that moment that Joseph himself recognizing, he's been wondering this whole time, are these still the same men who have done this to me? Are they still those same guys who did this? And Joseph is talking and he sees Judah broken before him, humbly asking to be taken in the place of Benjamin. And Joseph breaks. And that's what we got into. And what we see is, so it says in verse 1, then Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him. He cried out, make everyone go out for me. So no one stood with him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard it. So in this moment, guys, just realizing that this is a great place to see Joseph's heart, because there's been a couple moments where we could look at it and almost see that Joseph is maybe being mean, like as if he's kind of trying to get back at his brothers. And I've been making the point over and over as we see that that's not consistent with Joseph's character and that's not his heart. And this is one of those moments where we absolutely get to see it. This is a brother who is looking at his brother Judah, who is feeling this weight of what he did. Remember, he felt that he was being punished because of the choice he made to sell Joseph into slavery. He has seen Judah with that. He has seen his brothers who are just struggling with this. He sees where they are, and Joseph's heart breaks. This is not someone who's been trying to be a jerk. We get almost this view that though, yes, he knows God's been using him, it has been hard for Joseph. We've seen so many times he's already had to leave the room because he would cry when he was in the presence of his brothers and he can't hold back anymore. And he's weeping so loud that the entire palace of Egypt can hear him. This also just, again, points to what we looked at last week when we saw Judah. We could ask, how do we know that Judah's life has really changed? How do we know he's not just game-changing? And we see it in Joseph's response. He is looking at this brother. He knew this brother. He knew who he was before, and he knows who he is now. And it is in that moment of Judah just being real and raw with his brother that Joseph responds to that. Then Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? But his brothers could not answer him, for they were dismayed in his presence. That word dismayed in the Hebrew is terrified. They're terrified. So in this moment, this guy who has been the commander of Egypt, speaking through a translator this whole time, just yelled at everybody and they left the room. They don't know what's going on. Judah's before him. And then he looks at them and says, it's me. It's Joseph, your brother. And they are freaking out. They're stunned. They're shocked. What's going on here? They're terrified. And Joseph said to his brothers, please come near to me. So they came near. And then he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Joseph sees their fear and tells them to come near. So in that moment, as he is just revealing himself to them, he sees that they're scared, they're pulling back. And Joseph says, no, I'm your brother. Come near to me. James chapter 4, verse 8 tells us, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Psalm 145, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. And Hebrews chapter 7, verse 19 says, for the law made nothing perfect. On the other hand, there is the bringing in of a better hope through which we draw near to God. So as God's revealing Himself, there can be this natural fear. As God is making Himself known, there can be this tendency to want to pull back. We start comparing ourselves to who He is, and there's this fear. And what God is doing is just like Joseph saying, no, draw near to Me. Come close. What this also is in this moment, we kind of see, is this is the third time in that moment as He's asking them to come and draw near to them. And so we're seeing is that this is kind of like the third reveal. He's, it's Me, it's Joseph, it's Me, your brother. And He tells them, it's Me, your brother who you sold into slavery. Now, the thing that's interesting about that is that nobody outside of those 10 brothers. So again, it's like how real is it? They're freaking out, they're pulling back. How can this be? We've kind of told this guy the story, but how is it really him? And He tells them, I'm the one that you sold into slavery. Nobody would have known. Everyone else thinks that Joseph has been dead. Remember, as these brothers have been talking to Joseph, not knowing his Joseph, they've been saying, oh, well, there was this one brother of ours, but he's no more. They haven't even admitted to plan of slavery. Now He's saying, no, I'm Joseph, the one you sold into slavery. I'm not dead. I'm alive. Verse 5, but now therefore, just look at this moment, but now, do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold Me here. Again, what we're seeing in this moment as Joseph is responding to Judah is, if you guys have been asking yourselves all along the way when we've been looking for, how do you know Joseph wasn't being a jerk? How do you know that Joseph really cared about where his brothers were and the fact that he saw that when they first encountered him that they were still in that same place covered in guilt and stuck in shame 20 years ago? Is because he's still right here in this moment. He's telling them, again, guys, these are the brothers who threw him into the pit. They sat there and had lunch while he cried out and then sold him into slavery. And here he is telling them, do not be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold Me here. He is telling them his heart is breaking for them. He has wanted to reveal who He is. He's wanted to show them. He's wanted them to be relieved of this guilt and the shame because he's seen where God has taken him, and yet his brothers are still that 20 years back, stuck in that same place, and his heart is breaking before his brother who was being real and raw with him. He says, I am here. I'm your brother. Draw near to Me. You have nothing to be afraid of. And not only do you not need to be afraid of Me, you don't need to beat yourself up. You don't need to carry this guilt and shame anymore. And you might ask, how? How could he have this perspective? Look at the finishing up of that verse. For God sent Me before you to preserve life. See, his focus on God caused him to see things with the proper perspective. And that leads him to have this heart that forgives. What we've seen, guys, over and over as we've been looking at Joseph, is that because when we draw near to God, when we focus our hearts and mind on Him, He will give us a heart like His. He will make us more like Him to a world that needs to know Him. So how was it that Joseph, after all this time, could do it? Because we've seen, and that's what we mean by this whole time, we've seen Joseph who's been focused on God. He's kept his mind on God, mind in His Word. He had His Word in his heart, and that's what came out before his brothers. So now here he is with compassion and forgiveness. But how? How did he get that? Because he was focused on God. Because God gave him that heart. And that's the same thing that can happen for us. Psalm chapter 51 verse 10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Ephesians chapter 4 verses 21 through 24 says, if indeed you have heard Him and have been taught by Him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, but be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. And 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things pass away. Behold, new things have come. So here's Joseph responding to his brothers, having this unthinkable compassion and forgiveness for his brothers. And how did he get there? Because we saw throughout that, when it says that through that time he was going through all these trials, it says that the word of God was testing him, refining him, giving him that new heart, making him that new person. And that's the same thing that God wants to do today in our lives. That's what he's calling us to do. He's saying, don't be terrified. Draw near to me. Put your heart and mind on me, and I will give you the same kind of heart that I gave Joseph. Verse 6, for these 2 years the famine has been in the land, and there are still 5 years in which there will be neither plowing nor harvesting. And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity for you in the earth, to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you who sent me here, but God. So we can ask ourselves a question. So wait, was it God who sent Joseph, or was it his brothers who sinned? Yep. Both are equally true. Both happen. See, God allows us to make choices, to follow him or not. But that never gives us any kind of power. Our ability to choose doesn't give us a power. We're just allowed to live this life until the moment we're no longer allowed to live it. God is always fully in control. And that control, when we say that God is always in control, that's what we mean to say that God is sovereign. Yes, he allows us to have these choices. But that's not something that is about giving us power, but it's for us to understand our position in relation to how great God is. His power, his majesty. God being sovereign does not excuse or diminish the gravity of our sin. And God's love does not mean that we can continue to live our lives in sin. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 through 4 says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we, who died to sin, live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death. That just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should walk in the newness of life. God's power, his sovereignty, his love, it doesn't mean that sin is not a big deal. And we see that even the way Joseph was handling with his brothers. Joseph didn't diminish what his brothers did. He acknowledged, he told them, you sold me into slavery. The reality of the cost of sin is what makes God's power, his sovereignty, his love, that much more amazing and awesome. Joseph is not saying that God's plan is so great because it wasn't such a big deal what they did. He's saying, think about what you did, think about what that meant, that weight, that gravity, and know that God had something bigger that makes that become not such a heavy burden. That God has a plan that beats out your sinfulness. And that is what we're called to understand that when we say that there's no condemnation in Christ, that is not because God is saying, oh, sin's not such a big deal, don't worry about it. He's saying, because I paid for it. Take the gravity of what sin is, take the magnitude, and realize that our God is so much bigger, so much greater, has a love and power that surpasses all of that. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says, he was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. Romans chapter 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. So as Joseph is interacting with his brothers, he's just pick up his tone, his heart for them, not to be terrified, to draw near, all the things that God is telling us. And then he brings up the fact that he doesn't diminish what they did. Yes, don't carry that guilt. You don't have to worry about the fact that you sold me into slavery, because God had a plan for that. God was going to use that. That's what God is telling us today. He is saying that draw near to me. I love you. Don't be terrified. Know that your sin has been beaten by what I did on the cross. That came with a huge weight, but he lovingly and excitedly paid that price for us. Continue on, he says, and he has made me a father to Pharaoh and the Lord of all his house and a ruler throughout the land of Egypt. Hurry and go up to my father and say to him, thus says your son Joseph, God has made me Lord of all Egypt. come down to me. Do not tarry. You shall dwell in the land of Goshen, and you shall be near to me, you and your children, your children's children, your flocks and your herds, and all that you have. There I will provide for you, lest you and your household and all that you have come to poverty. For there are still 5 years of famine, and behold, your eyes and the eyes of my brother Benjamin see that it is my mouth that speaks to you. So you shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen, and you shall hurry and bring my father down here. So again, guys, this is an amazing moment. So what's happened here, right, is after Joseph has revealed himself, has shown his brothers who he truly is, his words to them is that they won't live without coming to him, and that they're now supposed to go and tell all their family about how they can live, which is to come and draw near to him. Which is, again, this great commission that Christ gives us. That God is revealing himself to us, that God wants us to know him personally, to have this relationship with him. And that, again, though that may strike in us a feeling of, again, there's that sometimes we can have that condemnation that I'm not good enough, I'm too broken. And he is saying, bring it all to me. Bring everything to me. Because there is nothing too broken, no one too messed up. We've looked at Judah, we've looked at his life, and seen now the change that's happened there. And Joseph is responding to that saying, I am the one who was sent by God to save you. God had a bigger plan that beat out your sin. And that's the same thing that we're being told. And so now Joseph is then giving his brothers a responsibility to do. Is go, now you need to go tell our family because death is coming. There's still 5 more years of this famine. You cannot live on your own. It's not going to happen. The only way for you to survive, the only way for you to live is to come to me and I will take care of everything. That is the gospel that we're given in Christ. That's what we get to do in sharing. That's what Christ has given us to say, to go out and share. Go, God has a plan that beats out sin, and that is the one and only way that we can live. Then he fell on his brother's Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept on his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brothers and wept over them. And after that, his brothers talked with him. And this is just, isn't this just, guys, it's just to me, again, think about everything we've been going through, looking at these brothers, these interactions in this moment. Joseph responding to this broken brother, Judah, and that he falls on, he's one of his brothers nearby. And I don't know how it went, but I just see that moment where these brothers are freaked out. He's telling them, he's drawing them near, come close to close. He gets a hold of Benjamin, he's just kissing on him. And maybe Judah's trying to hang back. Maybe Judah's still feeling this guilt that he's hanging on. And he just grabs his brother and they have this massive family hug out of these 10 brothers. Now 12 come together. And he's just loving on them and he's showing them that it's not just the love for the favored brother, but for all my brothers, even those who meant harm for me, even for those who rejected me, I love you. And he's pulling them in. And then they just talk. Who knows what that conversation was like? Here's Joseph just telling them. Maybe he starts going over everything's happened. And you just see all that guilt that Judah would have had just going away. This excitement, this renewed weight. You mean this plan that I put in, I don't even have to carry that. I get to maybe go and tell Dad, hey, there was something that I did, but God, it was bigger than that. But they have this amazing conversation in that, again, that this love that we see Joseph have for his brothers. This crazy, overpowering love that just takes away all the weight of their mistakes. That is a love that only comes from God. And we know that because Scripture tells us that God is love. It says, if you do not love, then you do not know God, because God is love. Not because of the way we would want to define love. Not because, we had Valentine's Day and love means you are mandated to go out and buy these random chocolates and flowers and that's what we're going to attribute to God. But instead, what we see is this right here, this moment. A love that takes a man like Judah from selfishness to willing to lay down his life. A love that takes a brother who was rightfully in a place to punish his brothers, but instead says, I love you, and God is bigger than anything you could have had planned, and pulls them all in to just say, it's going to be okay. God's got this awesome plan for us, and we can all share in that. And that's where we're going to end today, guys. That's where we're going to leave off. I know we've got more 45, but I felt it just kind of appropriate for us to just kind of sit and pause in this moment. This moment was too big. When I shared with you guys last week, you know, oh, I was having difficulty with Judah because, you know, you want to just wrap it in. We kind of have these micro moments. These micro moments, but it is undeniable that God changes lives. I could give you guys all kinds of rationale for why I believe the Bible to be true. We could go through apologetics and all of this awesome stuff, and that stuff is great. But the most undeniable thing that cannot be questioned is God changes lives. He takes a man like Judah, who is willing to sell his brother for a couple of bucks into slavery, destroy his brother's life, to 20 years later being brokenhearted of what might happen to his dad and offering himself. That is a change that does not come through hard work and good ethics. That comes from a life that has been radically changed by God. A love that would take a brother who, how many of us could say so much? I mean, how many of us get mad at our brothers or sisters or parents because we felt wronged and slighted in some way? And even it might be justifiable, but can any of us say that we were thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, then thrown into prison, and then forgotten in prison for 2 years? This guy had every reason to hate his brothers, and yet his heart broke for them. That's what we're reading, is a guy that saw his brothers and went, man, they're stuck 20 years because of guilt and shame. And we watch, and we've been watching as God used Joseph, even though it hurt him to do it, even though he gritted his teeth behind it, to put his brothers in that situation, to bring them to that place of brokenness and repentance so that they could say, we are broken. And at that moment, God says, I have salvation. I have a plan that's bigger than that. Let's pray. God, we thank you so much for your amazing word of love. Lord, I pray as we look at this moment that I'm sure Joseph had been waiting for these several years to show his brother who he was. Lord, we thank you that in this moment you are revealing your heart for us, your plan for us to say that you love us so much that you are willing to go to the cross for our sins. Lord, that we don't have to carry around the weight of guilt and shame because of anything that we've done in the past, but that we can look forward to this new life, this new person you've made us. Lord, thank you that what you have shown us through this family is that you will never give up on us, that you have promised to never leave us alone, and that God, though we may fight it, though we may reject it, that you are a God of love who is just consistent to who you are and to share your love with us. God, I just pray that just as these brothers were encouraged to go back and tell their family of this son who has basically come back from the dead for them, is offering them this new life. And Lord, we just pray and thank you for the new life that you've given us through your son, that we would be encouraged to go out and share even with our families and to a world who doesn't know you. In your son's name, amen.